the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, Mr. Dermot Jewell. Good evening.
A very good evening.
And we are here to address consumer matters. Now, pharmacists are charging customers huge markups that can double the price of life-saving medicines. It's reported today, double the price. Now, I know increased the price, but this is actually double the price, is what they're claiming today. And the investigation was done by the Indo, and it found that pharmacists impose markups of between 73 and 354% on the wholesale price of prescription drugs for prescription drugs. The Consumers Association of Ireland, that's you, isn't it?
Aye.
Last night described the prices being charged here as outrageously high. The IPU, the Pharmacy Union, claims prices are high because manufacturers set higher factory prices for drugs than in other countries. But the research shows that with the exception of some overpriced generic drugs, the markups imposed by pharmacists are largely to blame. Is that the case, Thomas?
Yeah, the problem is that, and even the IPU have said this before, that private patients are seen as cross-subsidising the payments and the costs, and that's not realistic, is our argument in this day and age, regardless of what their argument is. And if you look, for example, just taking one of the products that came across in the survey, in Sweden there was a 14% markup, in the UK there was a 50% markup, and here in Ireland there was an 82% markup.
Lipitor, the cholesterol lowering.
And that's
drug,
just one example. So it keeps coming back to the question, well, hang on a minute, you can't keep piling on that level of, and that's just one of the small profit margins. You can't keep piling on all of those levels of profit margin at a time when the very same patients are struggling to make ends meet.
Well, actually, you're wrong, Dermot, because you can keep piling all those charges on for as long as you get away with it.
That's a good point.
Now, what they did was they took 10 common drugs, they established the wholesale price of each, except for the HSE, and then checked the retail price of three pharmacy chains representing 163 chemist shops nationwide. So, the question: are we all being ripped off for our medication? Dublin's Q102, you're on the Scott Williams Show. The number's 850-6597. It's Monday, we're doing consumer stuff all the way with Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, talking about prescription medicines, first of all, and the prices of those with Dermot. And in fact, not even just prescription ones, some of the generic ones. Is that actually the point? We've got branded things, Dermot, and then we have generic variants of same. And I suppose the generic variant might well clear your headache just as fast as the super branded product.
Yeah, it would. And it's why we have a delay problem in our law. Going back into earlier last year, there was a proposal put forward that, amongst other things, one change that could be made would be that, as it sits at the moment, a doctor must write or generic on a prescription for you to be able to go to a pharmacy and actually avail of a cheaper copy, if you like, but a replica of that medicine. That hasn't happened yet, so there's a difficulty there. But one of the problems in the background, coming back to where we started, is that it's been acknowledged for a number of years that even in Ireland, the generic products are overpriced or are more expensive, far more expensive than they are in many other jurisdictions. And again, we see that in the background we have a pricing transparency problem.
Yeah.
Now, if I could just add, I know today that the IPU came out and said, and I don't want to be too controversial, but they did come out and say that, look, we're struggling, finding it hard to make ends meet, and we're only making a 4% net profit. But that's net profit. I mean, the reality is every other person in this country is struggling too, but they're still making a 4% net profit.
It's where
they're taken out before they get to the net.
Well, this is the great question. Just some Facebook comments on that, just to finish off. Kelly Riley says that inhalers are less than half price in Spain and the Canaries, and they can be bought over the counter. I haven't had to get a prescription here for them in 2 years. I stock up when I go on holiday. Avril Gilroy says, we brought my husband's prescription to Lanzarote. He has asthma. We pay €36 here for two inhalers. We get them for €7.40 over there. Also, I had an upset tummy and I got Motilium. It was a 30 tablet box for €3. It's €10 here for only 20. We're charged far too much for our medication here. Says Avril. They're also paid a lot less on their wages over there. Avril, they're paid a lot less on their benefits over there as well. So I think there has to be a degree of relativity. And I think comparing Ireland to the Canaries and Spain maybe might mislead you a bit.
Yes.
We want to bring the prices down here relative to kind of where we're at. Alicia says, I get my parents to buy my asthma medication abroad for me. Ventolin inhalers cost between €10, €15, and €12 here. I get them brought home from Puerto Rico. for for €4 each. And Helen Tonkinson says, listening online, I live in the UK. Our friends in Dublin often contact us to bring eardrops with us when we visit, as we can buy them over the counter and half the cost. 57102 for just 20 cent on the text. 57102 for just 20 cent on the text if you want to get in touch. And Dermot Jewell, the Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, is here to answer your consumer queries. Dermot, please ask Dermot, if dentures are covered under the Sale of Goods Act, mine split and cost me €500 last year. I can't afford a new set, so what can I do?
Well, they most certainly would be, because it's they're a product provided, and they have to be of merchantable quality, properly made, in other words, and fit for the purpose they're intended. And if they break within a very, very short period of time, then either they weren't correctly fitted, which is part of the service, or they're not of good quality. So absolutely, you're entitled to go back.
How long should they last, though? What would be a reason?
Well, that's I'll be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure on that, but I would assume certainly in excess of 2 years.
In excess of 2 years, okay. So there's the advice. They are covered under the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act of 1980. So go back to them and remind them of same. Now we've got Derek with us on the line. Hello, Derek.
Hello, yeah. I'm speaking on behalf of my daughter. She took a loan out with the TSB. It would have been in October 2008. And while she took the loan, they sold her loan protection insurance. Then she was unwell, and she in June of this year, which was June 2011, which was 2.5 years into the term of the 3-year loan, she took ill and she was unable to walk. Now, according to the policy, after 30 days you can claim. It's one of these policies that kicks in after 30 days. So she went and made her claim. Now, it took ages for... Can I name the insurance company? Can they name the insurance company on air? Or
not at this stage. Just with, right. Call them the insurance company, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, what happened then was it took about 10 weeks before she got any sort of reply from them. And then she received a letter. Yeah, but roughly 10 weeks now. Then she received the letter. Now, they've been back and forth with doctors, letters from doctors and all. And then they sent her this letter. And actually, all the states in there that we are unable to make her claim, which we do access every claim on its own merit. And due to a pre-existing condition, you do not qualify for payment because of the claim. Now, when my daughter took out the insurance policy, she considered herself, she was fitting well when she took out the insurance policy. Now, the loan was over 3 years, so she needed over 2.5 years into the loan before she actually went sick. Now, basically they're saying that she had a pre-existing condition, but I read through the document. Now, she obviously didn't read the document properly, but I read through the document, and looking at it, it's almost anything. If you had a dose of the flu a year before you took out the policy, they went back...
And Derek, that's what this whole thing revolves around here, Dermot, is pre-existing conditions. What are they? How can they get away with this? So what's your advice here? This Laura is Derek's sad dog.
Well, Derek, I mean, as Scott has just said there, this is the key and the kernel of the problem that exists. There are only a limited number of things you can do. One is I mean, I don't want to ask what exactly it was that the same the pre-existing condition was, but you're entitled to have it assessed as being whether an answer in the negative would have been relevant, truly relevant or not. In other words, as you're saying, did you have a bad flu? Well, yes, but it's not not a bad flu. It very much depends on how you thought of it at the time. But simply answering the question, what you're best off to do is get in touch with the Irish Insurance Federation. Now, you may have done so already, Derek, but iif.ie, check up with them and tell them that you've been speaking to ourselves and you want clarification on the specifics under which this was refused. And in all honesty, then, if you think it was missold to your daughter, or if she thinks it was missold to her, then what she needs to do is refer the matter to the Financial Services Ombudsman Bureau.
Yeah, basically, I can give you roughly, according to what it's kind of only one paragraph. I read exactly, under the terms and conditions of your policy, there is no cover for any pre-existing condition. Now, pre-existing conditions are defined as any sickness, disease, condition or injury which you knew about or are reasonable to have known about. But my whole point was, when she took out that loan, she didn't actually realise. She had gone to the doctor thinking she had food poisoning.
Yeah.
But apparently, when you trawl back 4 years through medical records, they pulled a letter from a doctor that she'd seen in James's hospital. Now, she didn't even receive a report from this doctor. Now, her GP may have known, about, but my daughter definitely didn't know anything.
Okay,
about.
Yeah.
When she went, she was concerned. She was in good health when she signed the document, and they're basing that she should, but she didn't know that she was sick at that time.
Derek, what is the condition?
She has a condition that she has consistent diarrhea.
Consistent diarrhea.
Okay. And it's they kind of her own GP has mentioned about 8 different conditions that it could possibly be.
Right.
Her own GP doesn't even know what it is that's causing it.
Okay, but somewhere along the line, going back 4 years, there was somebody had suggested to her GP that she may have had this same problem.
That she suffered with, she could have a lower diarrhea, weight loss, lower abdominal pain, and anemia. Now, that was approximately four years ago.
I appreciate that.
But she never seen that report.
I understand. But you see, the difficulty is she's dealing with a standard term, which is you must tell us if you ever had anything. Now, the point you're making, Derek, is that she didn't know of this diagnosis. So that is the only, and I'll be honest, that is the only leg that she has to stand on. She needs somebody to clarify back to the insurance company, that is her GP, that he did not advise her, which is, amazes me, that he did not advise her that she may have had this condition and that therefore the claim should be allowed.
And Dermot, shouldn't the GP have told Laura she had it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm very surprised
to take that up.
She does.
While we're on the subject, I had major surgery at the end of May myself now.
Right.
But my doctor, up to 2 weeks ago, I was seeing my doctor. My doctor hadn't received the report from the surgeon of the surgery I had in May.
Right. Now, I appreciate
doctor,
that.
My doctor said to me, it can often be months before they get reports from doctors. Now, she could have had them that diagnosis done, but her GP may not have received that for months after she had the diagnosis. Therefore, when she took it to policy, she would have known herself at that stage.
Well, that's all you have to. That's all she needs to say in her claim, either to the IIF or through the Financial Services Ombudsman. Because from what you're saying. She has
the doctor to certify it.
Oh, most certainly. The doctor will have to certify
when
that.
When the doctor certifies it, she should be okay, Derek.
Yeah, that's grand.
All right.
Good luck with it, Derek.
Thanks a million.
Derek. Bye-bye. There's Derek. 8506597 is the number. And Nuala is in Lucan. Hello, Nuala.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Dermot.
Hi, Nuala.
How are you?
Nuala bought a voucher from City Deals a few weeks ago. Was advertised for, what was it, 74% off, Nuala, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, so the price was €249, Dermot, for a whole 8 sessions. Reduction of €711. Now, you rang the beauty clinic to find out more about it, and the girl said on the phone that the 8 sessions were €495.
Correct.
Mm. So your husband rang City Deals and said, can you please tell me what's going on?
Exactly.
Nice and polite like that, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, what did they tell him?
Well, the girl he was talking to in the first place said that she couldn't deal with the query and that she'd escalated up. So they said that they'd get back in contact, but obviously they still haven't been back in contact. Mm. So I sent them off an email then to say I was after buying it. I'd rang the clinic. What was the story with their price? And again, well, I hadn't heard anything back until last Thursday. But in the meantime, just by accident, I got in contact with a consumer expert on one of the afternoon shows. And she took the case on for me, and she went to them and she said, look, what's the story? And they told her that obviously it was put on special offer that day or shortly afterwards, and it was nothing to do with them, that she'd have to ring the clinic or the salon. So they rang the salon, and the salon told them that it had gone on special offer. Now, there was no mention when I spoke to them about this deal being on special offer at the time. Like, obviously, if it was my company, I'd be pushing that it was a special offer. So that was fine. Her response then was basically that neither myself or City Deals were in the wrong. So I got an email eventually last Thursday back from City Deals. Do you want me to read that out, the response?
No, you bought, it was a voucher you bought.
Yes.
But so how could a voucher be for a special offer, Dermot?
This is the unusual element. As I understand it, you pay and buy for this voucher, and that's it. It's a contract.
So this was a contract for a voucher for iLipo and 249 for 8 sessions, a reduction of €711. That's why Nuala bought it. Is the matter not that simple, Dermot?
It should be. This is it. That's why I'm a little bit confused here.
Yeah. So that's why we're stopping you see, Nuala, because we can't get over the first line here.
Yeah.
Is you bought a voucher entitling you to the 8 sessions.
Yes.
So where are our 8 sessions is our question. I presume you want the sessions.
Yes.
Yeah. Dermot? Yeah.
No, look, who did you pay for the voucher? To whom did you pay the money for the voucher?
To City Deals.
It was City Deals. Yes. Very good. And you paid them €249.
She did?
Yes.
And when you went to use it, the people said, ah,
oh, no, I haven't gone to use it yet.
Well,
go and use it then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you want 8 sessions?
Yes, I want 8 sessions.
But who told you you can't use it, Nuala?
No, nobody said that I couldn't use it. The problem was that they were saying that there was a reduction of €711.
Right.
But when I got in contact with the clinic or with the salon, their price was $495 for the 8 sessions.
Oh, so the reduction was actually only $246. Yes. So it's misleading advertising.
Gotcha.
Is that what you're saying,
that's
Nuala?
Different.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Right. Where do you go with misleading advertising?
What you need to do is get in touch with the Advertising Standards Authority for Ireland.
The ASAI.ie.
Okay.
Absolutely. And lodge an official complaint with them. That will go to their complaints committee. Right. And they will challenge the advertiser, because that's where you need now if that's between the advertiser and the company who placed the advertisement, and they will act on your behalf, is the best way of putting it.
Great.
Sorry about that, Nuala. Now, it was a bit confusing at the beginning there. Can I ask you one other thing? How did you pay for this, Nuala?
By Visa.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Happy days.
Section 14 comes into play then.
Good old Section 14, the Sale of Goods, Supply and Services Act. So what you need to do, Nuala, as well, is on the back of your card is a number, ring that number, tell the company what's happened, that you feel you've been, if you like, the victim of a misleading advertisement, and that you're challenging the amount of money that's being deducted from your card, and that you're notifying them of that, and that you will likely be coming back to them looking for that amount to be credited back to your card.
Okay.
Great.
There you go. All right, Nuala.
Thanks a million.
Good stuff.
Take care. Bye-bye. Nuala there in Lucan. The Sale of Goods and Supply Services Act, Section 14, always appertains to credit cards. 850-6597 is the number. Dermot Jewell here in studio answering your consumer queries. So if you've got a problem, now is a real good time to call.
It's Q102.
The Scott Williams Show.
With Sunway Holidays and Delta Airlines, bringing you to the US for less for your New York shopping breaks. The way it is in Dublin.
Now, Dermot, Tony was on with us last Monday regarding a phone that he'd got on Meteor and Henry Street for his son, and that he'd sent it away for repair. And basically, you were getting very frustrated about the whole thing, Tony.
Absolutely. But please, because I listened to yourselves in Q102, it has been resolved.
Right, so after 7 weeks, Dermot, you remember, just in case anybody missed this, 7 weeks later, he still had no phone, his son had no phone, despite numerous phone calls, and he was getting the royal runaround.
Absolutely.
So when you went, Tony, and you said, hello.
I went back in, as Dermot asked me to on the Tuesday, and basically I said to him, I want my phone in 2 days' time, and they said, well, unfortunately, again, it's a third party. I said, no, as you are aware, I told you I was going on Q102. I did go on Q102. And Dermot advised me that it's between you and me.
Mm.
And that you have 2 days, I want my son's phone or the replacement phone or the regulator will be brought in to this. So the guy said, well, you'll have to come back in 2 days then. I said, well, would you not make a phone call to see is my phone ready? And will be ready for collection. He said, I will. Now, I must say he was fairly pleasant, to be fair to him. He said he would. He went off, he checked, and he said, yes, I'll definitely have that phone here in 2 days' time for you.
Excellent.
I said, that's great. The next day I got a phone call from the supervisor apologising on behalf of Meteor and Henry Street and asked me, could I come in and collect a brand new phone?
A brand new phone, not a repaired phone.
A new phone, and also €30 credit.
Oh, that's super.
It's just the very least I could do, Tony.
Well, I mean, it was because of the advice that Dermot gave me.
I know that, but we want to be clear about this. So the people who looked after you really well were the lads in Meteor on Henry Street.
Well, they did at the end, because of, it took 7 weeks, and I don't know many phone calls and many times calling get there.
Well,
can I make a suggestion, Dermot Scott? I don't know if this would make any difference, but could the regulator not enforce shops to display Know Your Rights outside the shops, that people would know when they go in? But that makes sense.
Well, some of those shops now, that'll be the last thing they'd want to happen.
It's a valid
exactly. It's the last thing that they'd want to have. Yeah. But if it was enforcement, then they'd have to have.
Well, do you see, the main point at issue here, really, Tony, for people listening to you is, and you saw yourself, is you buy the phone in the shop.
Yes.
Contract exists between you and shop. Because he, you see, he says, here's the phone, Tony. You say, there's the money. Thank you.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
third parties fixing phones, we're not interested. That's really the nub of this. The man or woman or the shop that sells you the goods, their contract is with them, and it's their problem if the goods are faulty. Now, we get lots of people on here, Tony, go, and then I brought it back because I wasn't sure about the colour. That's not faulty, and you don't deserve to get it.
No, I agree with that. You don't deserve it.
Faulty goods.
This phone was under guarantee, and it was faulty.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, we want to press on. I'm glad you got sorted, Tony. I'm glad you got sorted.
Guys, thanks very much again.
You're very welcome. No, that's not Tony. Bye-bye. Right. Tony there in Eastwell. It's always nice to hear about somebody getting sorted out. Now, Orla was on. She says, I purchased a TV for my mum by credit card earlier this year. Did you pick up that clue, Inspector Jewel?
I did.
After a few months, it stopped receiving most channels and couldn't be retuned. I returned to the shop I purchased it from. They sent it away to be examined. About 10 weeks later, they replaced it with a TV of the same make, etc. This TV now suffers from a similar affliction as the previous one, except that the volume turns itself up and can't be readjusted. I collected it from my mum and I returned it to the store. I explained the problem, requested a refund. Apparently, they will only repair it. But as the assistant told me that some TVs are not compatible with Sky or Chorus, it would to me seem an irreparable problem and therefore cannot be fixed. And at no time was I informed of the possibility that the TV was not compatible with Sky, etc. In fact, I've never heard of this in a new TV. I want a new refund. Can you tell me what I should do to uphold my rights? Thank you, Orla. Now, Darren, incompatible with Sky.
That's impressive, that.
What a load of cod's wallop. Because now, Orla, I am not the world's greatest authority on TVs, so we took advice before the programme, and we were advised as follows. The most modern telly will have a HDMI cable, and you connect your Sky into that. The next down towards getting older will have a component cable, and there'll be three plugs going into the side of the telly. And then the old tellies, like back when, you know, when God was a boy, they had a SCART connector. And you can put your Sky in with that. So every telly is Sky compatible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Dermot, what are we going to do about this?
Well, just two things to do. One is to go back to the shop, outline the fact that what they've told you is incorrect, is the nicest way of putting it, entirely and completely incorrect, and that...
False and misleading
is good too, yes. Mm. And that... under the terms of the Sale of Goods and Supply Services Act of 1980, having attempted to give you a second replacement to TV, which is of no use, it doesn't work, it's not fit for its purpose, that you are entitled to a full refund of your money and you will take your money and go elsewhere. Now, the thing to do is that you need to explain to them that you want that full refund in the manner that you paid for it, and that is by crediting it back to your card, your Visa card. And that you will assist them by doing so by, I suggest you do this as soon as you hear this, you get in touch with the credit card company now and tell them what's happened, tell them the advice you've just been given and that you will be seeking a full refund and that you're advising them to expect a credit coming from the company. You can tell them the name of the shop, the date you purchased it, and that if you don't have it in 5 working days, you will be requiring the credit card company to take the action on your behalf.
Right. I mean, to be told that is your TV is not compatible with Sky, I mean, is it reasonable to assume that if you're in a television shop, you know what you're talking about?
It is, yes. And with that in mind, it's also reasonable to assume, therefore, that somebody is decidedly being obtuse and being awkward and doing everything they can to not refund this person their money they're entitled to. No delays, because
five working days, Orla. So talk to your Visa company, your credit card company tomorrow, and then get back in touch with the shop where you bought this telly and you tell them, we want our refund. Mm. What if they offer her another telly?
I would say no. I have a choice here, and my choice is, as a consumer, refund.